Blog Talk Radio.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day.
Honest with you.
I almost gave up.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You look so much better when you smile. This is Prophetess Teresa from Kingdom Builders International, Kingdom Daughters International. Welcome to another broadcast of Saturdays with the Word. We'll be here every Saturday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Enjoy the music, and I will be right back. Get your Bibles ready. We're getting ready to go through the Word. Get your communion. Get you some juice, wine, crackers, and bread, and we're going to have fellowship. We're going to do communion tonight. Be blessed with the music, and I will be right back.
Soul is just deep.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord once again. Truly, God is able. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can think or ask. And it is according to the power that worketh within you. As the woman of God was singing, and the deep calls upon the deep. My God, there's a deep, deep anointing inside of you. The Spirit of God cries out for God, for more of God. We want to thank you for tuning in to another broadcast. I want to encourage you tonight to call somebody up and tell them about the Saturday with the Word broadcast. We'll be here every Saturday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we just want to pour into God's people what God wants them to have. And this is truly an assignment. So I want to encourage you to call someone up and ask them to join you, meet with you on Saturdays. Saturday with the Word at 661-449-9911, or they can go on the internet and they can tune in by going to our website www.blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Builders International. We're here to be a blessing, and after the broadcast we will be praying the request. We'll be taking prayer requests. So I just want to encourage you to know that God is with you, and there's nothing impossible for God. We just got to work with him. Allow the deep inside of us to call upon the deep inside of him. For truly, God wants us to walk in the authority and the dominion that he have already ordained for us to walk in. So I just want to be a blessing for you tonight. Get your Bibles out. Get ready, because we're going to be going through the Bible, and we also are going to take communion. We're going to fellowship together. We're going to take part of the communion with God. You know, when Jesus shed that blood, that precious blood of the Lamb, he said, as often as you do this, and you do it in remembrance of me. That's what God wants. He wants us to do it as often as possible. He said if we don't do it, we won't have any part in him. So I want you to get your preparation of the juice, the wine, the bread, the cracker. We're going to bless it. We're going to anoint it so God can convert it from natural use to spiritual use. And I just want you to get it ready, get prepared. Because we're going to have a good time in the presence of the Lord. You know, God is so worthy. He's worthy. And I just want to send blessings to everyone that's on the line and encourage you to tell someone about the Saturday broadcast. This is something that God is doing for his people. And I pray that you do have your Bibles out. And I pray that you're ready as we prepare for the Word of God. I'm just going to play just a brief portion of a song. And I'm going to ask Evangelist Hannah if she would just get that ready for me. And we'll be right back. And as we come back, we're going to bring the Word forth. We'll be with you in just a moment. And Evangelist Hannah, if you can just play just that song again. The deep calls upon the deep, and I want you to get into meditation. Get into meditation. And I'll be right back with you in one moment. You. Give you honor, we give you glory, and we acknowledge you, Lord God, in all of our ways, and we thank you, Lord God, that you are directing our path. Father, I ask you right now that you would send a special blessing upon those that's on the line, Father God. Father God, whatever they set their hands to do, Lord God, that you would find favor with it, Father, that you would give them, Lord God, the desires of their heart as they make you first, Father. And, Lord God, those that's on the internet, Father, and even those, Father, that's not on the line but will listen to this broadcast, Father, let a special anointing be upon the ears, Father, that hear the word of God. Lord, I thank you for what you're about to do in this very hour. I ask you, Lord God, to hide me behind the cross. And, Father God, exalt yourself strong in the eyes of your people who are called by your name. Father, I ask you for a special anointing to be resting upon them, Lord God. Give them an unction to pray, Father. Give them an unction, Father God, to go further in you. Father God, keep your shield of protection around them, Lord God. Let them be an epistle for you, Father. Let them never be the same, Father God. Father God, let their feet, Lord God, be where you would have them to be. Let the blood of Jesus, Father God, cover them, Lord God, even their families, Father. Let no weapon formed against them prosper, Father. Give them favor going in and favor going out. Let them be blessed going in and blessed going out, Lord God. Let a rhema word come out of their mouths, Lord God. Use them like you have never used them before, Lord God, for the time is nigh. And we thank you, Lord God, that we're doing your will. We thank you, Lord God, that we're not sitting dormant, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we're hungry, we're thirsty for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that we will sow, Lord God, into your kingdom, Father. When you put it up in our hearts and in our spirits, Father, that we will do exactly what you say do, Lord God, that we will be a blessing to others, Lord God, that we would not, Lord God, have our desires selfish, that our desires, Father, will be for you and your kingdom. And, Father God, those that you have assigned us to, Father, that we will be a blessing to them, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, we say thank you. And we give you honor and we give you praises in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. And I pray that you all have your Bibles, that you all have your communion prepared, and that we're going to fellowship with the feast of the Lord. You know, the Word of God is all we need. The Word of God is medicine that can bring healing to our bones, that can bring wellness to our spirit. We just have to eat the Word. Let it be the medicine that we stand in need of so that we can move forward in God. Well, tonight we're going to talk about the glory cloud. The glory cloud. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. The glory cloud. And I'm going to ask you to get your Bibles out and turn them to Exodus, the 40th chapter, verse 33. And I just encourage you, have your Bibles out, for truly we know this is our weapon. We know that this is our weapon, the Word of God. The Word of God. These are the words that came out of our God's mouth. So I just thank you just for loving on God and just having a thirst for more of Him. Thank you, Jesus. The 40th chapter, and we're going to go to verse 33. Thank you, Jesus. All the way to 38. We bless your name, Father, for we know the Word of God is blessed. Okay, I'm going to start at 32. And when they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journey. My God. And if the cloud was not taken up, then they journey not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all generations. I'm sorry, throughout, that must have been prophetic, throughout all their journeys. God was with them. God was with them. God was with them. You know, no man can see God with the human eyes and live. But his presence, it was enveloped in this cloud. I want you to imagine the glory cloud of God over you as the glory cloud descended over the children of Israel. And it was something that the people could look to and follow. Can you imagine that God's glory was up over you. And you could look up and see that cloud. I could just imagine that it was just astonishing. Beneath the cloud is the holies of holies and the mercy seat and the glory of God filled that place. I want you to get revelation of what the scripture is saying. Beneath the cloud is the holies of holies and the mercy seat and the glory of God fill that place. Now I want you to imagine your body. Beneath that cloud is your body and the mercy seat and the glory of God filled your body. The glory of God is an interesting study. And as I have been led to study the glory of God, it was mentioned nearly 400 times, but none more interesting than here in this text. I think that's how I looked at it as I read the different ones. This was the Shekinah glory of God. God's Shekinah glory. And God's Shekinah glory led the children of Israel across the Red Sea and even through the wilderness. Let me give you an example. I want you to turn to Romans. And I pray that you got your Bibles out. And I pray that you're turning to these scriptures so that you can read it. Because it's nothing like when you get a chance to read it for yourself. Romans 9 and 4. Praise God. Romans 9 and 4 reads, "Who is the Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises?" Who is the Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption? Is it you? Adopted. And the glory. And the covenant. And the giving of the law. And the service of God. And the promises. God mentioned, where did the glory come from? Where did it come from? Have you ever thought about where did it come from? Where did his glory come from? Look at verse 34. Going back to Exodus. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation. A cloud. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, what happened just before this? Look at the last five words of verse 33. The last five words of verse 33. So Moses finished the work. What work did Moses finish? It was when Jesus Christ was finally on display in the tabernacle. When through obedience the work was done, and so the glory came upon them, upon you and I as well, when we are obedient to display. God is our life. Some Christians just display the radiance, the attributes of God on their face. But in their walk, and especially in their talk, where is the glory of God in your life? So when it's displayed, Jesus will come out of you. You know, we can say, I go to church. We can say, I'm saved. We can say, I'm a believer. We can say all of these things. But does God's glory shine through you? Can others look at you and see God's glory? And like I said, some of us, we just display the radiance of God and his attributes is just all over some of us. And some of us walk it, and some of us talk it, and some of us live it. So when we display Jesus, and when we obey him, okay, let me get the point out. Look back at verse 17, Exodus 40 and 17. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, and on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. And I want you to read all of this scripture all the way to verse 32. And in the scripture, it's going to talk about, and Moses was setting up the final tabernacle. So it was the preparation that Moses was preparing to finish the work. See, a lot of time, we don't want to finish the work. We don't want to do what's required. Moses finished the work. He finished the work. Sometimes we get started, but we don't want to finish the work. And Moses reared up the tabernacle and fastened his socket and set up the boards thereof and put in the bars thereof and reared up the pillars. And he spread it abroad. So all of this is talking about Moses was finishing the work. And as you keep reading, he was building the tabernacle. He was getting it prepared. He was doing what it took to get the job done. And I want you to keep reading. And I want you to read all of it. And verse 20 says, and he took and he put up the testimony into the ark and set the snares on the ark. He was doing what was required. And he put the mercy seat above the ark. He was doing what was required. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle. And he set up the veil of the covering and covered the ark of the testimony. And the Lord commanded Moses. He was doing what was required for the glory cloud to come, for God's glory to shine upon God's people, for God's glory to lead the children of Israel, for God's glory to manifest. It was all for God's glory. He was doing the work. In verse 22, and he put the table in the tent of the congregation upon the side of the tabernacle, northward, without the veil. He was doing the work. See, a lot of time in the process of doing the work, we get tired. a lot of time of doing the work, we get mixed up and think it's about us. But it's not about us. It's about pouring into someone else so that they can begin to do the work, so that they can begin to do what Moses was doing. He was doing the work, and he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord. He was doing the work. And the Lord had commanded Moses, verse 24, and he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against the table on the side of the tabernacle southward. He was doing the work. He was making preparation for the glory cloud to shine up over the tabernacle. Moses was doing the work. But in order to do the work, we must be able to hear God. We must be able to hear his voice. We must know what we need to be doing in order to do the work, in order to hear his voice. We must be obedient. We have to yield our will to his will. We might have plans to do this, to do that, but it's not in the will of the Father for us. We're sold out for him. So we have to do the work. We have to plan as God lead us. And I'm going to continue to read verse 25. And he lit the lamp before the Lord, as the lamp commanded Moses. God was speaking to Moses. He was commanding him to do the work, to plan for God's people. A lot of times we can have calls and assignment on us, and we're busy doing something else, but not doing the work of ministry. You know, God told us to what? Go to the highways and the byways. He said to preach and teach his word. It's not just for the men and women of God that's in the pulpit, the deacons, the trustees. It's not just for those that have accepted their call. It is for all of God's people to do the work. Verse 26, and he put the gold altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil to do the work. To do the work of the ministry, to do the work of the kingdom of God. And as you continue to read, you'll see all through these scriptures what was happening. Moses was doing the work so that he can finish his course. And as you keep reading, you'll see seven times it says, as the Lord commanded Moses. It was absolute obedience, not just partial obedience, but absolute obedience. It is necessary. Now, how often do people come for counsel and they aren't there for advice, really, but to tell several identifying factors with his people, and one of them is the glory. Me, what they already decided to do, this is contrary to the way the Bible teaches us to do. We say we want direction. We say we want counsel, but we don't really want it. because we think we already know. And our way have not worked. As the Lord commanded Moses. Moses was obedient. Okay, just think about this. Partial obedience is disobedience. A man promised his wife that he'll be faithful to her 364 days a year. Something missing with that picture, isn't it? But one day each year, he visited another woman and he claimed he is the most faithful. But what is he really? He's unfaithful just because of that one day. But it's not hard around here to find good and faithful people who obedience, they are obedient to God. And they display God. And they have his glory about them. But just look around. Look around the churches. And as these people stand out, they're not talking about who they are. They give God the glory. They might stand out. But they're going to give God the glory. It's a supernatural ability upon God's elect. And I want to encourage you tonight. You are God's elect. Allow his glory cloud to be up over you because of your obedience. When does the glory come? It comes when we are obedient. And we display the Lord. When God tells you to do something, whether it's through a man or woman of God, or whether you hear him yourself, and it's not in your plan, where does the glory come from? Where does the glory come from? Again, I'm going to ask you to turn to verse 34. Then a cloud, it covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of God filled the tabernacle, the glory of the Lord. And the previous verse said, so Moses finished the work. Moses was obedient. He finished the assignment. He finished what God commanded him to do. It was out of obedience that the glory came. On the tent in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, it came on Jesus. In the Old Testament, it came upon the picture of the tabernacle. But in the New Testament, upon the person. God's glory is not over a tent anymore. You are the tabernacle. Jesus is the tabernacle for the glory of God to shine upon. You are the tabernacle. For the glory of God to shine upon. It was on Jesus. Three times Moses, he experienced the glory of God. And I'm going to tell you all three times. The one time it was the cliff of the rock. And remember he saw the afterglow? The hinder parts of God's passing by. Remember he said, I want to see your face, God. And God revealed to him that no man would see my face and live, but I'll let you see the side. He saw the side. Can you imagine seeing the glory of God? Can you imagine seeing God? As God passed by, it must have made Moses hungry when I just think about it. It made him hungry the more. Hungry the more. Hungry for more. If you could see God as he was passing by. And then the second time was on the mountain when he received the commandments from God. And his face shone. Remember his face turned gray, or it was a shine as a result to show the children of Israel when he came back from receiving those commandments that he had been in the presence of God. And now upon the tabernacle in a veil form. And he must have wanted more, having experienced more. More. Just give me more. And a few hundred years later, in Matthew's, I think it's like the 17th chapter, when Moses was there upon the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, along with Elijah. And this time he was seeing that glory. Not on Christ the picture, but on Christ the person. And it won't be long, Moses, and you'll be in the presence of that glory for all eternity. That same glory goes with you. That same glory goes with me. And we should be longing for that day that we'll be more hungry, that we can catch a glimpse of the glory of God. John 1, the first chapter, verse 14. I just want to whet your appetite. You know, because what the enemy does, he make us become distracted. Tossed this way and that way. And when we get tossed, we get wore out. And then we're not focused on finishing our course. And then we become lackadaisical. We get comfortable. And then the enemy will attack our minds and he'll attack our bodies. But I want to encourage you that God's glory is waiting on your obedience to obey and do what he tells you to do. Moses was obedient to finish the work so that God's glory cloud can shine upon God's people. John 1 and 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. And the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, we can see it only with our spiritual eyes. But have you seen it? Have you pictured God's glory upon you? All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. It'll work together for your good when his glory is shining upon you. Hebrews 1 and 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the expression and image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majestic on high. On the right hand of Jesus. See, the enemy wants you to feel condemned when you slip and you fall and you mess up. But look beyond that. Jesus already knew that condemnation was going to try to make us feel that we can't experience the glory where there's no limits, the glory where you can't fail, the glory where nothing is impossible through Christ Jesus, the glory where all things are possible in Him because we believe. There's no limit. The enemy wants us to be fearful and make us worry. The enemy wants us to feel stagnated because we're not in His glory. The glory will shine on you because of your obedience to building God's kingdom, to building God's tabernacle that's within you to pour into somebody else, to encourage someone else. God wants His glory to shine on you in church, out of church. Turn to Ephesians 3 and 21. Thank you, Jesus. And it reads, upon Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You know, God wants His glory to be manifested through the church, through our organizations. And He wants His glory to be on leadership. But, and I'm not going to even go there, but God wants to get the glory out of our lives. And everything in God's creation was made by Him. It was made by Him and for Him. You were made by Him and for Him. It's not about you. When you hurt, it's not about you. It's not about me. Any air you breathe, food that you eat, sight you take, is for His glory. It's only because He shares all of this with us. But there's one thing He won't share, and that is His glory. And let's be careful to give God the glory in all things. If we lift someone up, let it be Jesus. You know, you want a ministry. You want to do ministry for the King. Ministry that won't have you all pumped up, but where it's obvious that God did it, and it's obvious that you couldn't do it. If you got a voice to sing, if you got a voice to preach, if you got teaching abilities, if you got praying abilities, let it be because of Him, not you. Hide yourself behind the cross. And let's take this serious for another reason. Because it's possible for God's glory to depart from you, from me. God don't need us. We need Him. And we shouldn't take Him for granted. He can move His glory cloud right up the road if He wants to. He can take it off of us, and He can put it on another. God, raise up one, bring down another. So it's so important that we consider ourselves to be vessels where God can use us, that we become humble and we realize that it's for His glory You know, we work these jobs, and we go in the course of our days, and God's glory go unnoticed. Every gift, every talent is because of him. You know, in the Old Testament, the priest Elijah had wicked sons. And he didn't restrain them. But rather, he just swept things under the rug, and he continued to hum and drum ministry. And he maintained it, and he was a caretaker. But the prophet Samuel, he prophesied a coming judgment so severe that those who heard about it, their ears would tingle. And shortly thereafter, they went to war with the Philistine, who not only killed Elijah's son, but they confiscated the Ark of the Covenant. And when Elijah had heard this, he fell backwards and broke his neck and died. And when his widow, daughter-in-law, heard what had happened, she went into labor. I know you know the story. And she delivered a son, whom she named him Ichabod. And Ichabod, the terminology of Ichabod, the glory has departed. When God's glory leave you, it's because of our lack of obedience. She named her son Ichabod because God's glory has departed. When Eli, when he swept it under the rug, the sins of his son, and he overlooked it. And when the prophet came and told him judgment was coming, and they didn't take it in consideration, and they shortly thereafter went to war and was defeated because God's glory has departed. And I want you to come on up to today's time when a church moved from evangelizing to formalities. God write Ichabod over the door. And we may not even know it. When the church moved from being biblical to being literal, God will write Ichabod over the door. And we will likely not even know it. But even when it's a bigger crowd and even a more exciting program than ever, and masking the fact that God is not even there, but we go on with the routine and we play church, and his prophetic word can't come, because we're stuck and caught up in tradition and formalities, because we have literally pushed God's glory out, and the glory is given to the preacher, the deacons, the trustee, or people that's singing, the choir. Ichabod is over the door. And we don't want Ichabod to be over us. But when we replace corporation and compassion and personal agendas, yes, Lord, with God's glory, God may decide to move his membership away from us. Don't think that it can happen. You don't think it can happen? It can happen. And church will be going on as usual. And God is not even there. And how do you know he's not there? It's not fruitful. Nobody evangelizing. No one is winning souls. So, again, we know where God's glory comes from. By us being obedient. And I'm about to come to a close. But I just want to encourage you tonight. Colossians 1 and 27. When Christ is in you and the hope of glory, the same God that write Ichabod over a church can write it over a single heart. And I'm not talking about losing your salvation, but your testimony, your influence, your effectiveness, your glow, the glory of God being over you. Why does God's glory come? To show us that He alone is our salvation. The glory cloud rests over the mercy seat. Ha, shatarabo koshan. The glory cloud rests up over the mercy seat, the sins. See, the sinners don't get the glory for being saved, but the Savior. The glory come so that God can get the glory of sinners being converted. And we're the tools that He used. Who have you brought to salvation? Who have you effectively influenced? Where they say, I want to be a Christian like you. Where they say, I want that peace that you have. Where they say, I want that Jesus that you have. Or are we so much in the flesh that it's all about us? Well, this ain't working right, or that ain't working right, or I didn't do this, or I didn't get that. Where God is not in it, Ichabod, His glory have left. And I got to make this point to show us that He alone, He will protect us. We don't have to worry about what's not happening. We need a car. We need a house. We need a job. We need to go back to school. Whatever the things that we need, God alone will provide. You know, He stood between Israel and the Egyptians. This cloud, this glory cloud, it was the light to the good guys. And it was darkness to the bad guys. The world can't touch God's people when you abide in His glory. And anything that come into our lives, it has to be filtered through the glory of God. And Jesus, don't you know that the enemy can't even get to you when you're living in His glory? Because His peace is upon you. And then connect yourself with people that's living in His glory. God wants our lives to be filtered out through the glory of God, through His presence before us, so it can affect us. And God will allow it when you're obedient to what He tells you to do. And when they needed light, they got it. And when they needed shade, they got it. God will protect you. And to show us that He alone, He will direct us. I mean, I'm excited about it because there's no lack in God. Yes, there's lack in us, but no lack in Him. And when we live in His glory, there's no lack in us. God will make a way out of no way. For decades, this glory cloud was their personal guide. For decades, it wasn't over a couple days or a week. It was decades that the glory cloud was with them. And when they moved, it moved. And when it moved, they moved. And when it stopped, they stopped. It was the glory cloud was a personal tour. It was a valuable thing. And they always charged more for that than it was worth. And what I'm saying is the enemy could not get to them. And we may not know what tomorrow may hold, but we know who holds our tomorrow. It's our personal tour guide who holds our hand. My Lord, he knows the way through the wilderness. And all I have to do is to follow. He'll get me where I need to go. See, we'll get into trouble when we decide our own way that is best. But we must trust God. God is capable to lead us in the right way. But if we follow God, no matter how hard and how dark and how dim the pathway may seem, I want you to remember this. That he has been there before, and he knows where he's going. So allow God's glory cloud to be over you because of your obedience. When he tells you to do something, do it. What did Jesus' mother say when Jesus was at the wedding feast and they was running out of wine? She told them, whatever he tell you to do, do it. Wherever he tell you to go, go. To make a better you. So that his glory cloud will dwell. Just stay there. Just dwell with you. God's glory is available for you. You've been struggling all your life. And you may have had a few good times. For the Lord is saying to you tonight, allow me to lead you. Allow me to guide you. Allow me to direct you. And I'll take you to the place where I want you to be. And when you get there, my peace shall keep you in all your ways. God's peace will keep you. And it's not by accident that you're on this line tonight. I want to encourage you to join in with us every Saturday at 7 p.m. Central Time. We'll be here to encourage you, to build you up, to exhort you, to help you birth out those babies inside of you. Because God wants you to be an epistle for him. God bless you. I thank you for tuning in tonight. We're going to take, if there's any prayer requests, I'm going to ask you to press 1 on your phone if you have a prayer request. But I thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Take what you heard tonight and run with it. Don't worry and be happy. Don't worry, be blessed, for God loves you. And I just send blessings to you. I just want to say, if you don't know Jesus and the pardon of your sin, and you want to know him, he's available. All you have to do is repent, accept him in your heart, and God will accept you into his kingdom. You can contact us at kingdomdaughters1@yahoo.com. Our website is under construction. It will be up next week. If you want to sow into this ministry, if you feel led to, I want to encourage you again to go to our email and send us an email, or you can go to PayPal. You can send us an email, and we'll send you an invoice so that you can sow. And those that have the address to mail in, you can do that as well. But I just want to encourage you tonight to get your communion out, and we're going to do communion before we close. I'm just going to play up. Please stay with us to finish the course. Juice and crackers, bread and wine. We're going to pray over it, and we're going to do communion, and then we're going to let you go. But I'm going to play just a few minutes of this song as we prepare to take communion.
You deserve the glory. Your holy name, you deserve the glory.
Praise the Lord, we're back, and I pray that you do have your communion ready. For this is a holy time that we're able to get in the presence of our King. We're able to be a partaker of his burial, his resurrection, the suffering of Christ. This is a privilege. A fellowship with him. He said, as much as we do it in remembrance of him. So this is a time where we can eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. He said that if you don't eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, he said you won't have a part in him. So we get a chance to sit and eat with the Lord Jesus. I want you to go into meditation and think about how he shed his blood. Every drop. When he suffered so that we could have a right to be free. This is a blessed table. We send blessings to you. We bless his body. We bless his blood. We ask you, Father, that you would take everything, Lord God, that's not like you, and that you will remove it from our hearts and from our spirit. We ask you to forgive us, Lord. We ask you, Lord God, to break off of us anything that's not like you. Father God, we ask you, Lord, that you would heal our bodies because we're consuming you. The word says a man ought to examine himself before he eat of the bread and the cup. So we ask you right now to examine yourself. If there's anything, you have any ought against anyone, release it. Let it go. For this cup is the new covenant in my blood, says the Lord. He said, do this. He said, whenever you do it in remembrance of me. So, Father, we ask you right now that you would bless the bread from natural use to spiritual use. And we join our faith together right now. And I say that all is well in your body and all is well in your spirit. For this is my body, which is for you. We say right now that you eat and eat all of it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. We recognize your body, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And right now, I just ask you to convert this juice, this wine, and let it become your blood for healing for our bodies, healing for our soul, healing for our mind. We stand on your word, Father, and we thank you for making this available for us in the name of Jesus. We drink, and we drink all of it in your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, we ask you right now, Lord God, that you would take everyone on this line, Father, and that you would give them that supernatural power to proclaim you, that they would do some things, Lord God, that they've never done before for your glory, that your glory cloud will go with them, that they would move as your cloud moved, Lord God, that you would direct them, Lord God, and salvation, Lord God, would come to their house, that salvation would come to their families, that salvation, Lord God, would come to their friends, and even, Lord God, that salvation would be their portion. We thank you, Lord God, that you're doing this right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this hour of power. We give you the glory, and we give you the honor. And we worship you and we adore you. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. And we say amen. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to encourage you tonight to be blessed the rest of the evening. And just pray when you get off this line. And ask the Lord, what is it that he would have you to do in this season? Where is it that he would have you to go in this season? For those that are obedient, his glory cloud will be upon you. If there's no prayer requests, I'm not going to open the lines up, but I just want to encourage you to be blessed. Let the joy of the Lord come out of your mouth. Encourage somebody. Be an encourager. Be an exalter. Exalt people. And ask God to allow you to hear him. Amen. Well, I thank you once again for tuning in. This is Prophetess Teresa Dox. I want you to know I love you. I appreciate you. And if you need to make contact with us, you can go and email us at kingdomdaughters1@yahoo.com. We send blessings to you and much love. God bless you all, and just have a wonderful night. And I just pray that you were blessed tonight. And I got to play this last song just to put a little pep in your step. For the enemy is under your feet. He know his place. And we're just going to put him there. God bless you. And just have a good night. Amen. Keep them under your feet. Good night and have a blessed evening.